This is CliffCentral.com.
Indeed it is, on a Tuesday morning at 11 o'clock. Oh, it's so good to be back, though. And I see someone on Twitter is asking whether indeed I am back. I am Mabali Moloi, if you are not sure.
Listen.
This is Dumi Moraki.
Yes. Who's asking if indeed you are back?
Do they
feel like perhaps they have a...
No.
The shrooms.
The shrooms? Ki bongani. Bongani msilo ori is Mabali Moloi back. Akiri, Dumi, you and I used to be in a loving relationship.
Yes, we did. And we're back in that. Don't say used to.
No, Mara, there was a bit of a...
There was a separation
moment.
Yes.
And then Katlaho and I got the love back and all of that.
Yes, and I took you back with open arms.
Yes, you did. And I'm very grateful for that because, you know, no one compares to you, Dumi. I've never had a lover like you before.
Born. It's not the first time I hear these things. Mara bongani askara poka, because then that means how consistent. Because if he was consistent, he would have, but last week already had that your backness is for real. Or maybe because, you know, you did that one night stand with me last time, didn't you?
It was...
He's doing a make sure
because Bongani Lena Ekar, he wants to be sure that I'm not messing you and him around.
Yes, playing with our feelings.
Which is fair.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to be a hoe.
Yeah, please.
I really don't.
Don't play with the emotions of our feelings.
No. Welcome to it. Thank you for joining us. As always, 0861-555-189 if you'd like to get in touch with us. Or you can just message us straight through to WeChat. Or you can tweet us. It's very nice, these options that we have, ne?
I love how Mabali always remembers to include you in our conversation. Because I get carried away. I know I'm like in there. And I'm like, OMG, if you don't know how to get a hold of me, Google is your friend. And I'm very happy to have you because that's how you keep me in line, bruh.
Oh, okay.
You do. When you whip out those whips and chains, it's not just about the pleasure. It's about what we're getting right.
You know what I mean? You see, this is when couples compliment each other, complementary situations.
Mm-hmm. We need to affirm each other.
No, this is true. Yeah. This is absolutely true.
Yeah.
So the other day on Twitter, I saw somebody talking about how they love being a man and that, you know, if they could do it all over again, they would definitely come back as a man.
Because they've tasted being a woman when?
No, well, this is the thing. This is why I got to asking this question and thinking. So let's say, Hori, it was possible for you to come back in a second life.
Yes.
Would you come back as a woman because you now know what it's like to be a woman?
Mm-hmm.
Or would you come back as a man to try and experience something that is completely foreign to you?
I think I would like to come back as a man.
Why?
I think because already I have serious like phallic issues. Like I, for example, when I have what do they call them? Naughty dreams.
Wet dreams.
Yeah, but mine. I don't wake up with such. Okay.
Okay.
Yes, let's call them that. When I have wet dreams, I for the most part I have a penis.
In your dreams.
In my, it's the most bizarre thing. And actually, I should bring it up with my therapist. But yeah, since the first one, since when I was a teenager, since my earliest memory of ever having that kind of dream, I'm the one doing the shagging. But I'm shagging with a schlong that is a part of my body.
Now, it's you yourself, so you are still Dumi Moraki.
Yes, I'm this woman.
But you have this thing.
Yes. And even if I'm with a dude, it's very weird. I realize that, wait, what? I'm the one with the thing and I'm doing you. And it feels amazing.
So in the dream, you are still shagging a man or do you sometimes shag women?
No, I shag both.
You shag both.
Yes. Yeah. But even if it's a man, what I'm saying is even if it turns out that it's a man.
Yeah.
I always end up being the one with the penis and I'm like, how did this happen?
Are you a very dominant person? Are you?
No, but
do you
see,
take charge?
Maybe that's why I have these dreams because really? I'm not. I know on stage and the persona that people get when they see me out there is they think, woo-wee, their poor husband.
Eh.
But I'm actually quite submissive. I am not as much of a challenge as I seem to be. I challenge where I need to. But no, I want to come back as a man. My only problem is coming back as a man is I think I'm going to be a man whore.
But that would be allowed.
No, but me, I would love women, eh?
So when are you would take it a step further than what some of these men that we accuse of being dogs do?
Me, I would, yes.
Really?
I love women. I think women are amazing. Now, I'm imagining if I had to have that level of testosterone in me. Mm. My goodness. You're people's children. You. I would have the lines. I would work on the body. And you know what? I wouldn't cheat and have someone who's neglected. I wouldn't even cheat. I would be open about it. I'd be like polyamorous.
Yeah.
I would probably be like, Mabali kaofila jo. And I don't wanna lie to you. It's about five others
that I'm feeling too.
That I'm with. And I need you. I feel like you fit. You fit. And you'd be like, but five. Why am I gonna fit in that? You know? Bigger but born. In that five you can be one. Aksoba number.
Okay. So okay, but isn't this interesting? Horowena, in a second life you would want to come back as a man, but then in coming back as a man you would do things and behave in a way that you don't do currently as a woman. And is that because it goes back to that thing of at the end of the day men and women are not the same, therefore is it like some kind of seek, like,
English?
Would you want to, would you want to come back as a man in order for you to do things that are not socially acceptable for you to do because you are a woman?
No. I don't have that same desire for men right now as a woman. I don't feel like, I would love to have this many men. I'm just like, one is enough effort.
Yeah.
But for women, I think I'd be that guy. Because, you know, I've met some guys who I realize they don't do that because they're sick or misogynist or whatever. They genuinely just love women. Yeah. They don't know what to do with themselves.
They can't get enough.
They just can't get enough. And you'll find that, I mean, I know a couple who don't even, they have this many girls, but they actually are only sleeping with one or two. Mm. But the rest are like, they I don't know how to explain it, but they just love them. But it's like, it's my person, but it's not really your person. Yeah, but it's those blurred lines relationships with these girls. You know what I mean? And you're like, he can't help himself. He literally just loves women and he treats them all well. You know what I mean? And it's interesting. And at face value, you go, oh, this guy is such a man slut. Kore, he's just putting this thing everywhere he can. You know, he's decided that every soap washes, you know? And then you find that no, it's not that situation. He just loves women. He loves beautiful women. He loves women that stimulate him mentally as well. You know what I mean? So but, that's where it's coming from.
So then is it the same thing as when some women will say things like, I don't really have girlfriends because all my friends are men? Are we talking about that same comparison or is it entirely different?
No, but with him, he loves his women. He can call them friends, but he knows it's not.
It goes beyond. Yeah. But even though he might not be sleeping with all of them. So now I was thinking about this morning, actually. And I was thinking, what's happening? I think I find myself in a position where I fall within the group of women who are lucky enough to not find themselves in those situations where women are compromised. So for example, I can make my own money. So you know, I don't
hallelujah,
this is the most important
yes
thing. So I don't need a man for that.
Yes, queen.
So kishapu,
yes.
You know, I have the kind of options where I'm not forced to consider, you know, being married or having children. You know, because in the past, women needed to get married for survival. Like, if you did not get married, you were going to starve because you could not work.
It was a status symbol.
It was also a status symbol. But, you know, these days, you get to choose. It's no longer this thing, yahore, hey, Wanaka, you have to find a husband. Now you can be like, yeah, if I find one, okay, but maybe, and then if I find one, maybe in my 30s, if I feel like
if
it.
If you must.
So, you know, I'm fortunate enough to be in a position where I have those kinds of options where I think I might want to come back as a woman in the next life. I don't know.
I think I'd want to come back as a man purely out of laziness as well. Because
What are you saying?
It would be such a lazy... Because, you know, they don't have to work doubly as hard as we do. Like, we arrive and there are issues already waiting for us. You know what I mean? And when you come as a man, I think the thing that determines your issues in Jay is what race are you born? And where are you born in that race? And then your issues will then be determined. But in Jay, just... The minute you are conceived and the chromosomes are going, let's go the girl way, your struggle has begun. So for me, it's a lazy thing. But I love what you're saying about, you know, that independence of you make your own money. I read a quote that just made me smile that said, basically it says, lazy women are impressed by money. Hardworking women make their own money and know that a man with money is a bonus, not a ladder to an upgrade. I'm like, yes, queen, yes.
This is a good quote to have and to read and to digest.
Even I'm a seed propile.
Because I once got into a disagreement with a female friend of mine.
Yeah.
There were three of us in the conversation. The one girl was saying, but you know, women who chase after men for their money are lazy. There's just they know two ways about it. Yeah. You're just being lazy. Yeah. And the other woman was like trying to, you know, defend it and say, no, it's not about being lazy. It's about, you know, wanting a certain lifestyle and wanting certain things. And then this other one countered and she said, yeah, if you want certain things, then get them your damn self. Why should you? Like, why should you be chasing after a man for his money? And in so doing, are you still not enslaving yourself to this man? Huh. Because you are dependent on him still, is it not?
This is interesting because now you are challenging this quote. Because this quote, I will say it again. Money only impresses lazy girls.
Okay.
When a woman works hard, a man with money is a bonus, not a ladder to upgrade. Now, where you have made me reconsider this statement is the fact that, let's say you do marry for money. Let's say you are that hot girl that's married to Donald Trump.
Yes.
Ne?
And that's not Mickey Mouse money. Ne?
Yeah.
Now
we're talking cheap.
Now we're talking the kind of money that would get me to throw my independence out the window and marry for money. And
feminism for who?
Feminism for what? But
I say, let us backtrack a little bit. Imagine Donald Trump naked.
I don't want to.
Exactly. So that's the first thing. Girl working hard. Because first, she must convince herself that what she is looking at is stimulating her in places where we know it will not stimulate her.
It did not stimulate.
She needs to look at that body and see Vin Diesel. That's number one.
Okay.
Number two, people with money hang out with people with money. Old money especially.
Yes.
Is always surrounded by old money.
Yes.
You come in.
Yeah.
You will be reminded your class, where you're from, that you're reminded that you're not money.
Hurry, you are nothing.
And you need to keep, every time you're at these things, prove that you are not just there for his money. Prove that you can be as classy as those other hoes who are acting like they didn't marry for money.
Yeah.
You have to then keep up with that culture that you don't know. For me, that's work.
Okay.
You can't be hanging out with your peeps like right now. If you and me, Mabali, if right now we decide, no, you know what, we're going to go and have lunch. We're going to have a bit of a piss up. And then later tonight, we'll go break it down and dance Kai Kai. Then you're married to Uncle Bay, Grandpa Bay, right? Imagine.
Grandpa Bay.
Yeah, because all of us are going, no, then I'm going to call in Sinom Longi and Sean, and they'll come over in their GTIs and we do this thing. Yeah, but you must call Grandpa Bay. Grandpa Bay must arrive in his Bentley, of course.
Of course. And then you get that 5 minutes of everyone thinking, oh, she's so like.
But Grandpa Bay can't dance. Yeah, but now we are going to Chisanyama, where it's all youthful. Everybody's in their tight jeans. Because, you know, even the brothers are wearing tight jeans nowadays. But Grandpa Bay cannot be in tight jeans.
No, it's just not.
He is the CEO, the MD, the owner.
And he would look like a fool.
He would look like a damn fool.
He would look like he's trying too hard.
So what's your new entertainment? To go and sip tea with those bitches who are talking about you behind your back? Who are reminding you, who are laughing at the way you pronounce Gansi when it's Gucci, who are laughing that you call it Hostovas when it's actually hors d'oeuvres. So you understand that there's all this work that goes into it. I completely respect those girls.
Okay.
I do think it's hard work. It's so much work keeping up appearances. And maybe you genuinely are happy. But who do you relate to when you are this 20-year-old married to an 80-year-old whose friends are mostly 70 and up?
Well, you hope for the best, Hore. Your husband's friends, his rich friends with all their old money are also
married to young things
because isn't it that, you know, upgrades are the thing. When people get tired of each other, they find an upgrade, they replace you with a younger model. So you would have to hope Uhuri, you can find, you know, your peers among that group.
Look,
there's this show called Wags on one of the channels. It's about the wives and girlfriends of athletes. I mean, these women live in an entirely different universe to the one that the rest of us know. And it's exactly what you say. It's this whole thing of they have to keep up appearances. But not only that, these women are basically not allowed to ever be found looking with their hair out of place. You know, after they give birth to children,
they must be thin.
They must go back to being.
They must vomit these children out.
They must go back to that model size that they were when these athletes first found them. It's work, I agree. You know, they have to look good all the time. They have to look attractive. They have to be sexy. They have to, you know, they have to be young while aging in the process.
And when the popo hits the fan, you need to be able to be standing there in front of cameras looking all supportive of your man, even though you are literally going, I'm going to stab a nigga.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Because isn't it Tiger Woods' wife ran after him with one of his golf sticks?
Choma.
Golf clubs?
But at that point, she had decided, you know what? Appearances can kiss my ass.
Yeah, no, quite frankly.
I'm calculating alimony. It's fine. I'm going to beat a nigga. But I, you know, look, I've said it once. I've said it a million times. No one has ever paid me for my vagina. So I value and respect any woman whose vagina is that good. Mine isn't. No one's ever gone for that, for the flavor. Yeah. I'm just, you deserve, let me give you something.
Okay. No. So, I mean, you know, and then it brings me to this thing of trophy wives. So, also, I'm not very, you know, I try very hard to not be judgmental. Because it's none of my business.
But Mabale, what if I'm smart and I'm carrying this guy and I'm being called a trophy wife just because I happen to also be sexy?
I carry, now my understanding of the definition of a trophy wife is, it's somebody who makes you look good. Oh, that's my understanding of the definition. I don't know if it's right. So I'm thinking somebody to have on your arm who, when you walk into a room, people look at you and they're like, I really want to be that guy. Right now I want to be that guy.
But when you're actually out there, you're shagging this other out of shape, funny looking girl who is just not conventional, but that's where your heart is. But this is the chick you have to present, and that's where your penis is. But this is the girl you need to present to the world, and that's that poor lonely girl who's sleeping with the pool guy because you actually are not interested in her. You like your girls chunky, you like them chunky, you like them with the nappy hair, but you have to present the world with the young, weave wearing
model
shaped, wearing a t-shirt, calling it a dress.
Maybe she used to be a beauty queen in lifetime, so she looks really good. She's poised. She speaks well.
Look at this thing of she speaks well. My lord.
Oh,
she has to be able to entertain. Ne?
Yeah.
This thing of speaking well.
It's a sensitive one.
It's a very sensitive one. Yeah, no. Because it's also another way of these poor girls being reminded of, Jane comes to Joburg.
And they giggle
about it. You know, I've seen it. I've actually seen it when these. And they have that look that comes over their face. And I think because I have seen it, but I was coming from a privileged point of view in that, you know, when you're just there as the hired help, you're just the entertainment and you're leaving. But it's made me so conscious of it that when I do end up at events where I'm invited and it's a lunch or it's a dinner or it's a formal do or there's a red carpet involved, and I become so self-aware because I go, my career does not need me to fake anything. But I know how ugly these bitches can be about how I sound. And because I refuse to act refined, whatever refined means. Because for where I'm from, damn, I'm refined. But if I'm not refined by your standards of, I'm not Botoxed, I'm not stitched up in the latest designer ink. I'm not, you know, my boobs aren't out. I don't walk in boobs first.
You're not wearing skyscraper heels.
And I watch these girls because I'm always like, but Choma, you're at a party. No one's paying you to be here. Or maybe they are. But the least you can do is have a good time because
this
is time out of your life. But they don't look comfortable. And I watch when the smiles come. And this is one thing I hated about being at the Durban in July. Like, I was so grateful that, you know, the company had paid for me to be there and whatever. But I was like, I would never do this to myself. These girls are completely plastic. Mm. The smile lasts as long as the flash. I watch them walk in and literally scan the room, even while they're speaking to you. They're not really, the lips are in your direction, but the eyes are somewhere else.
Because they're looking for a target.
They're looking for a target. And then when they greet each other, because it's all about, who am I being seen greeting? Who am I being seen hugging? Who am I? And I'm like, is that your claim to fame? I mean, I know that regardless of what can scratch me in the eye, break me and put me in a wheelchair, my skill is still there. It's my craft that's placed me there. I was there because of my actual work. Like, I have, you know, collateral, serious-ish.
Yeah.
Intellectual collateral. But these girls, I felt like, oh my gosh. So all you have is who you are associated with.
And yeah.
What you do on the red carpet. Wow, that is heartbreaking.
It is heartbreaking. But don't you think that that has come out of the kind of environment that we exist in these days? Mm. Where, you know, I don't know when terms like socialite started becoming a thing, and then started becoming a profitable thing at that as well.
Yes.
Because as we move away from traditional jobs, you know, job descriptions of how you can earn an income or how you can, you know, also these days we like talking about building a brand. You are a brand. You must build your brand.
Yes.
And it just seems like there's this very gray area of all the different ways in which you can go about earning money, building a brand, and. And so you'll often find these girls fitting into those situations where you've described, where it's all about, who am I associated with? I have to be seen with a certain group of people. If this happens, then my brand worth is going to increase. And because of that, then this is going to happen.
But
I think that that is a product of the times.
Yeah, but guys, it's hilarious to see. For me, it just tickles me. But maybe it's because, you know, my job requires me to observe. But it was also very interesting to see how many people go, oh my God, I love you. I love your work. Kiss, kiss. As she turns her eyes, she's already rolling her eyes. She's already, and I picture that the other person is probably also rolling their eyes.
Yeah.
I was just, I'm like, no, guys.
It's
women. Women. Hi, we are powerful actors. We are just.
We are convincing actors when we want to be.
Yeah.
This is why the porn industry is as big as it is. Because women are very convincing actors.
The porn industry, the at-home sex industry, the marriage industry. These women can fake it for days, Baba. Days.
No, we truly can.
Hey, speaking of women, we also have funny ways of describing things. Sorry to digress, but I have to tell you this while I remember.
Yeah.
So I'll go on Twitter this morning. And this young lady is clearly, something happened to her, and she's upset. And she tweets that KZN is the most racist province in this country.
This is now a black woman.
It's a black woman.
Okay.
But this is what killed me. She says the whites here are levitating. She said they're levitating. Now I see things in pictures and I hear things in pictures, my bad.
So you could just picture.
I pictured demonic levels of racism. I'm like, this is the next level. I just pictured that girl from The Exorcist. I'm like, that's the level of racism where it's like, you're possessed. Oh my God. And I was finished. I was like, you see, women, man, we are wordsmiths. We are...
To me, is that a good thing or is it a bad thing or is it just a thing? It's just a thing about us.
What?
All these things that we are mentioning now.
It's amazing.
The fact that we can.
It's our survival bag. It's our survival bag of tricks.
It's a different way of of bullshitting, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because men and women both, we bullshit
each other
all the time. Yes. We just do it differently to the guys.
We do. Men are way more overt. I mean, when you think about even, you know, when we talk about power, and I remember last week I was saying, you know, when women take power, we don't need to do it as men. We need to do it as women.
Yeah.
Because I was thinking about now, like with my kids, for example, when they're in cuck with me, like with my husband, you'll hear him shouting. When my kids are in cuck with me, it's in the silence. It's in the silence that, you know, the shit has hit
which
the fan.
Which to me is actually even scarier than the screaming and the shouting and the loudness.
Like I remember, I don't know what Bonsu did, but I just looked at him and he retreated. My son retreated, and you know, after he walked out, I giggled, and I was like, he better not catch me giggling. But I found it so funny that all it took was that one look.
Yeah.
And my son retreated at the speed
of
light.
He knew immediately, okay, this means danger. Mm. Retreat. Mm. Go back to your quarters and don't even...
Think about it. Men have to huff and puff for you to know you're in trouble or you did something wrong or that he's upset. Mm. You never just know that he's upset. He literally needs to do everything. But us... He walks in and the environment,
the whole,
even the flowers refuse to be as bright.
The temperature in the room,
it drops
yes. when you are in a bad mood as a
yes.
woman. And when people enter that room, they're like,
yes,
no, I can't be here right now.
No, me.
Go.
But do you understand why I'm excited about women and I'll come back as a man just so I can be with women, but like really be with women.
Okay, you're starting to, maybe I would reconsider coming back as a man, yeah. Oof,
we are evolution. I'm convinced, in fact, that the next archaeological find will be that, no, we actually were only men before. And it's not about just Adam. It is like, it's evolutionary, this thing.
Yeah.
We are the evolved version of what men should be.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You know? Because you know how they even come with their extra bits. They come with extra anatomy. And I think, you know, as you evolve, you start to discard anatomy.
Things that are useless. You start to discard things that are completely useless. Oh my God.
I couldn't even laugh in English at that one.
Okay, speaking of, you know, coming back as a woman and, you know, being with women. How about a bit of Beyonce, please?
Alala Queen. Yes, Queen!
Sorry, I ain't sorry.
This is CliffCentral.com.
How to start your great with Kellogg's and the Kelvin 20.
Don't procrastinate. Do what you want to do and do it now.
Be as good as you can, but they can't actually ignore you.
Run your own race and stop comparing yourself to other people.
On your own pace, your own race, your own lane.
Love yourself enough to work on yourself and be honest with yourself.
The main thing is action every single day. Small attainable goals that will get you in the right direction.
Hashtag start your great.
CliffCentral.com with myself, Mabale Moloi, and
Timi Meraki. I am so ghetto. Why do you not tell me that we are back? Now I'm flating here. People are going to get nervous, thinking, oh my gosh, they've just been hijacked.
No, you must be your natural self.
Oh no, you do not want to meet my natural self. So why that choice of song, Chom?
No, I'm just feeling in the mood for that song. There's no deep underlying, you know, deep-rooted reasons here for it. I'm just...
Oh, so you say.
No, you know what? When I first saw the music video, yeah. I was so excited because I was like, oh my God, that's Serena Williams and she's twerking.
Yeah, yeah,
I just found it so amazing that, you know, one of the most successful athletes on our planet, you know, can just let go like that and just be relaxed and do her thing in her... You know, in her black leotard there with Beyonce. Because you know Beyonce is all about the leotard, huh? Like, that's her thing.
Yes.
And there was Serena all, you know, in all her curvaceous glory.
Yeah.
And she's twerking and she doesn't care what you think. And I actually fell in love with the music video more than the song. So every now and again when I hear the song, I just think back to that moment of like, oh, yeah, I just love that moment. That's the only reason, you see.
I love what you just said, that she's twerking and she doesn't care.
She does not care. And she doesn't have to care because, you know, she's Serena Williams. Serena. What are you going to do? Who are you and what are you going to do?
I must say that's the one thing I enjoy about dancing, personally. Like, you know, when you say you're twerking and you just don't care.
Yeah.
I love dancing, Mabale. And as a woman, that's my thing. Like, I don't care who is looking at me and salivating. I don't care who's looking at me and going, hide those kodonkis. I just, it's a speaking of my soul. It's so insane. I don't care whether I'm in rhythm or out of rhythm or, you know, if I'm shaking my kodonki and I'm trekking. And, because, you know, I read a thing. I saw a meme that says, you busy, it's a picture of Oprah. and it says, you busy twerking, something like you busy twerking, but you want to have Oprah money, something like that. Or she's busy being a millionaire, when are you busy twerking?
Oh, okay, yeah.
Like, how you going to get
as
that money?
As if to say, hooray, you know, don't waste your time with these silly things.
Yeah. And I'm like, no, but some things are nice. Mm. You know, the one thing I liked about twerking is this whole embarrassment about having a big ass. Suddenly, here came this dance. You know, take what you will from what twerking implies and where it comes from with strip clubs and whatever, but big ass girls were happy to finally have this coming out party for their bottoms. You know what I mean?
And to just be able to, you know, flash their bottoms in your face, and you must just deal with it.
Be strong. Yeah. Just be strong.
Or look away. You know, it's understandable.
But
it's
hard to look away.
It's very hard.
It's like roadkill. You want to look away, but you can't.
It's very hard to look away. I am the extreme opposite to you when it comes to dancing.
Yeah.
I am afraid to dance.
Why?
During the people.
Why?
You know, it just feels like such an awkward, unnatural process for me, because I think that I am a terrible dancer. Oh, because in my mind, you know, when somebody is dancing and they're really good at it, it's, you know, you can't tear your eyes away from that shit. It's like, it's nice to watch. It makes you happy. You know, if it happens to be Asha and he's not wearing a shirt,
even
gets me a little bit excited.
Oh, yes.
And then it's just really nice to watch. But I always feel like I'm this clumsy, out of sorts, out of place idiot when I'm attempting to dance.
No, but you must let the music speak to you, my chum. Free your mind, your ass will follow. It's that simple. Like, I mean...
Free your mind and your
ass will follow.
I don't think I actually know how to twerk, though. I don't think I've ever twerked in public.
I have said this to every woman who has told me they can't twerk. I've said, are you sexually active? Yes.
You can twerk.
All you need to do is find that movement, just without a pole.
Because you do that movement.
You do that
when you are busy on that cowgirl position.
Yes.
You work it. Okay.
Yes.
There was a thread that I came across. Somebody had taken the picture of, I think it was a 5-year-old girl, very cute girl.
Mm.
She's got her hair tied up in a little ponytail. She's wearing a cute little crop top and cute little shorts, and she's got a choker around her neck, right? Mm. So her mother is obviously a very, like, very into fashion kind of mother, dressed her daughter up nicely, took a picture of her, and then put it onto Instagram. And then this thread started because somebody retweeted the picture, and they said, this is very inappropriate. Why are you sexualizing your daughter in this way? She's 5. She's in this crop top and short shorts.
Can that person then start therapy for themselves?
And then it very quickly turned into this big thing where people are saying, no, but don't you think there's something wrong with you in seeing this 5-year-old as a sexualized person? Because the rest of us are looking at her and thinking, aww. And then there you come with your woke tendencies. Somebody actually said that. Have you noticed that people
are wokes? Don't let me get started on the woke. You don't want to open that can of worms.
There is a very low level of patience for woke Twitter. I think people are done with them. They're sick of woke Twitter. And it's quickly because you have these different factions on Twitter, right? And more these days, they don't last as long as they used to. And I think it's because of our very short attention span.
Mm.
But, you know, it was just a very interesting thread to go through, because you had these people on the one side arguing that we need to stop sexualizing young girls. And then on the opposite side of the fence, people are saying, no, but you are the ones with the problem.
Yes.
You are seeing these children
as
sexual
it's
beings.
It's a problem. You know, I remember, it reminds me of my mom, God rest her soul. There was a time she bought me these short shorts, right? And I think I was 11 or 12. And I remember refusing to wear them and saying they were too short. And she said to me, oh, Mwana, you're a child. What are you trying to hide?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I thought about that. I was like, but, you know, like later on, like, yeah, man, what am I hiding? Mm. Why am I so afraid? But then I was one of those girls who developed early. And I knew already that, you know, men are looking at me in a way that makes me uncomfortable. So I feel like I should cover up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But It is true, though. Like, people have issues, guys. When you're a child, you know, I used to do schools around the country in underprivileged schools, and, well, traditional, in poor schools. Mm. And we do these shows. And afterwards, we start talking about, you know, understanding your body, bullying, molestation, that, all of that stuff we were covering. And this one girl put up her hand and said she doesn't understand people who talk about if your dress is too short, you'll get raped. She's like, we play mgusha. You know, they play, what's it called, skipping and khati, those things.
Yeah.
And she was like, I don't understand how my, in a long dress, I'm supposed to still be able to jump and have a good time in this long dress that I can't. And I was like, this child is right. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And with that conversation got going. And yeah, man, we can't. For me, don't you think that's where we begin this oppression of women, in fact? When a little girl can't just be a little girl and looking cute in her little outfit.
Yeah, I get it. They say that it is because the environment is already dangerous for little girls. So the people in this thread were saying, you people can't, you know, you can't trust the environment that you are raising your children in, because isn't it that we have pedophiles? And so when you are out there dressing up your daughter in little short shorts and a tank top. But again, I have a problem with this argument, because it goes back to that she was asking for it argument, right? Like, it goes very close to that argument.
Yes.
So, yeah, but then you'll have people who say you need to acknowledge the reality of the world that we live in. And the reality of the world that we live in is that we are living amongst dangerous people.
The reality of the world is you could dress your child like a ninja.
Yeah.
Completely covered head to toe.
Yes.
And your child is still in danger. So I do not understand what that statement is saying.
But I think, you know, it is interesting. So you've taken this back to the oppression of women. Yeah, it definitely...
We're stopping it there.
No, it definitely is. Mm. Because you can't just be yourself in this seemingly dangerous
world. You're policing a baby girl who you're going to police as a teenager, who you're going to police as a woman, who you're going to police as an old woman.
Who's going to be policing herself for the rest of her life.
And then she's going to then perpetuate that policing by policing other women. And that's why women end up treating each other like shit. Because... why? It all started with a little girl in a tank top and a short little shirt. And that one idiot who started saying, why are you sexualizing?
Yeah, because you are the one who is actually being made to feel
uncomfortable.
Because
there's nothing sexual about that thing. It's like a man in it. Guys, a child dressed in anything is like a man in an outfit. Okay? There are no calves involved. There are no boobs involved. There's no sexy licking of anything going on there.
No.
That's a child.
Yeah.
For crying in a bucket. Because, you know, every time I look at my child, you know how people are like, oh, the child is so cute, I could eat them up. I look at my Afia. My baby is a chubby little kwashiorkor. I shall not show. And then you put her in her little shirt and a little... and you just want to squeeze her. She looks like a little... she's just, I shall not show, man. You know what I mean? Now, if I'm looking at that, I shall not show, man, in those little shorts and going, man, those just look so cute, those chubby little thighs. And then you come to me and you tell me, what am I doing? I'm going to find you and punch you because you've gone and ruined the complete innocence of what I was enjoying. Can children allow to enjoy being children so they can grow up complete? Because we're taking away their childhood now.
And it's at younger and younger ages these days, we're taking those things away.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because for me, you start saying that to the mother, you're going to end up saying that to the child themselves, and they're going to start having a complex because they're going to start placing so much importance on how they look as opposed to what they're doing and how they're behaving. And it's a problem for me. You know what I mean?
It's like, okay, because now you are a mother and you are a mother of a daughter, so you are the perfect person to ask. So, for example, when you see... a 9-10-year-old in a two-piece bikini and people find that to be inappropriate. Or when you see a 10-11-year-old girl wearing those, you remember those Jennifer Lopez velvety looking tracksuit pants that sometimes have juicy written across the bottom. You know, when people find issue with these kinds of clothes being made for little girls and they say it's completely inappropriate, are you then saying that it's not inappropriate? So a 9-year-old in a bikini, for example.
If my mother has a nice body and she wears a bikini and I'm her daughter and I think mommy is beautiful and I want to look like mommy, I want to be in a bikini.
And in
I'm
your...
not in a bikini to be sexy.
No.
I'm in a bikini because I want to look like mommy.
Yeah, yeah.
Then when I put my child in a bikini and then you come and take issue about how I've sexualized her, do not make your problems my problems. I am not responsible for your feelings. I am not responsible for your sick thoughts. Unless you have an experience of abuse and you think you are abused because you were in a bikini, then it's a different conversation. Then that, again, your problem, not mine.
Mm.
But I think, again, you need to think about that reference. I have a child who plays rough. My daughter is very boyish and boisterous in her way. So I don't do things like put her in dresses a lot. Like, she loves dresses, but they're so impractical for her. Half the time she throws it off and then she's naked. And yeah. I'm like, okay, I'd rather you were in your pants.
I'd rather you were in clothes.
And also, same thing happens with bikinis and things. For me, I wouldn't put a prepubescent girl, for example, in a bikini. If I'm risking it's going to fall off, then there'll be issues of shame, blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? Because also for me, it's about the practicality of these things. I've never seen a woman in a bikini proper get involved in the sport of swimming. You understand?
No, they're
so if you're
going to
do crazy shit in the water, you're not going to wear something like that because you know something's going to fall off from the force of the water.
Yeah.
Because that's why swimmers don't swim in bikinis. I'm sure otherwise in the Olympics would be seen in bikinis.
Bikinis all over the place.
But they're wearing proper, like, full swimsuits.
They're wearing specifically designed, tailor-made outfits.
So I'm not ignoring the world we live in. It is a reality. But again, I'm going to tell you that I feel the focus should be on the people who are perpetuating and perpetrating, not on the victims. Because until somebody comes to me with a conclusive study that says it is absolutely because of how you look that this ends up happening to you, then I'm sure.
And we know that's BS.
It's BS to the max.
I've never actually heard the point being put across in the way that you have put it, because I've often found myself on that bandwagon of people who are like, but you know, maybe we shouldn't design certain clothes for certain age groups because it's just, you know, maybe it's not right at age 12. It's more acceptable at age 18. But this argument that you have put through now is changing my mind, especially when you say that in that instant, you know, when you're a young child, you're not thinking like a gross adult.
Yes.
You are thinking,
yes,
I want to look like my mommy when she's wearing that yellow two-piece of hers, because it's the most beautiful sight for me to see in the world.
Don't hypersexualize. I think that's how we end up with freaks, you know?
Freaks.
You know? We create our own freaks.
Are we talking good freaks or bad freaks?
Bad freaks.
Okay.
I'm talking about sociopaths. I'm talking about
The people that we definitely don't want as part of our society. Yeah.
Repressed people.
Yeah.
It's let children be children. That's how I feel.
Yeah, and stop making young girls feel guilty about, you know, how they look at that young an age, because it completely screws them up for the rest of their life.
Because I'm sorry, guys, children are cute. Nah, I don't care what you say. They are all just boys and girls. I just think when as toddlers, man, I love them. They are
the tiniest little things in the world.
And that's why it makes me very uncomfortable when people can honestly come and say, hey, but you can't make your child look sexy. Sexy and a child.
Those words in the same sentence make no sense.
Unless you're saying a sexy mommy is holding a child. Then I'm like, yes.
Yeah,
sexy and child
like,
in the same sentence is because sexy is applying to mom. Outside of that, you have serious, serious problems. Yeah.
This is a good point to make. So you put up this picture of us on Twitter. I always say that I have the biggest forehead in the world. In fact, in my family, we call it the Moloi 5 head. Because it's a big, big forehead. It's actually like a bit of a confidence-killing thing for me. Who is this guy? I think it's Bill Maher. The one morning, I heard this clip of Bill Maher talking about how Hillary Clinton should actually just own all her flaws, because Donald Trump keeps labeling her all these different things and he calls her crooked. And, you know, there was a whole email scandal thing that happened. And Bill Maher was just talking about how, listen, if I was Hillary Clinton, I would just, you know, I'd burst onto the scene and I'd be like, yeah, I am crooked. And then, like, own your flaws. And I like this idea of owning your flaws, because to me, it's a kind of protective mechanism in a way. So that before somebody points out something that you know they're going to go after when it comes to you, you just own it and you bring it to the fore immediately.
They run
like,
out of ammo.
There's me and my 5 head.
Yes.
What are you going to say now? You're going to tell me that I have a big forehead. And then what? I already did it.
I Yeah, I guess. I don't know if it makes you feel better about yourself.
No, it acts as like a kind of protective layer for me in a strange way.
Mm.
Because you know you are obviously a very confident person. The rest of us,
yeah, obviously a very
not
confident
so much.
Person.
Oh well, that's
do
what
you know how much it's offended me that people come and the one so-called compliment that for me is the most offensive thing you can say to me, rather even call me fat to my face, is when they go, "We just love how comfortable you are in your own skin."
Oh yeah, no, that's and always that's go, always been a problem.
Should
so, yeah.
I not
should
be?
I not be? Yeah,
because the minute somebody says that, I go, "Oh, why? What's wrong? What should I? What would people traditionally not be comfortable with? What's wrong with the way I look?"
Yeah,
I hate that.
No, see, when I say that you're confident, I'm talking about like
no I know you I know what you mean
yeah
I'm talking about the people who tell me I'm comfortable in my own skin.
No, those people are
I'm like, what's wrong with my skin?
Those people, I also take issue with that, because what they're essentially saying is that, you know, you really shouldn't be as comfortable as you are looking like that, because you don't look perfect.
Well, for a big girl,
but
you dress
good
well
for you,
you dress
for
well for your body. And I'm thinking, yeah, there are also skinny girls who dress well for their bodies, because some of them can look like a hanger that's just walking with clothing just thrown on it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So yeah, man, I don't know. Yes, own your flaws, but don't make them like a crutch, you know what I mean? Like, oh, I probably didn't get that job because of my big forehead.
No.
I probably didn't get that job because of my big ass, or, you know. For me, I suppose I also own my flaws, because sometimes those flaws are the very thing that's causing you problems. Like, you know, for a while I was like, oh my God, my ass. And then you keep catching these guys salivating over that ass. Like, this guy looks like he's imagining himself buried in that thing. He's just not coping right now. You know?
It's an insecurity thing, because yes, a lot of the time, you know, what you find to be problematic within yourself are things that other people are looking at and admiring and
yes,
thinking, oh, if I could just have her big afro. And
yes.
Like, oh, if I could just get a weave.
Yes. Yes. Exactly.
We are never
exactly
satisfied with what we have.
No, we never are. We never are. But you know, one thing I love about women is we will always love in other women the things we wish, you know, we had. But I found that also the things we hate in other women generally are the things that reflect back to us as well, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know there are women who just don't like the fact that I will laugh as loud as I want if it's that funny, and they hate that I'm so outspoken. And I go, but it's very interesting you should hate that, because I think you wish you were.
I was once told that I laugh like I run a Shebeen. I don't know what that even means, but that's what I was told.
Well, yours is mild. I was told I'm laughing like somebody's pulling me by the clit. And I was like, first of all, why would I laugh if someone was pulling me by my clit?
Is that a nice sensation?
That's not. It does not sound good. At all. Nor does it sound pleasant.
Yeah.
And second of all, why am I not allowed to laugh the way my body is just pushing this thing out of my body? It's not like I sat and rehearsed a laugh.
No, it's just, that's just the way it is with you.
Yo. No, if there's one thing, black women have a way of describing things that'll just shatter your soul. My mother once, my mother, God rest her soul.
Yeah.
I know this is one. And mom says, "Whoa, that woman's bum. It's like she's on a motorbike."
She's on a what?
And her bum is so big, it's like she's sitting on a motorbike.
Oh, because with the big thing in the...
And
in
I was
the,
like, mama, yeah, you can't another woman like that.
Yeah.
But the visual for me, I think we are such visual...
creatures.
Yes, yes.
And then also when we are looking to cut, we can
we cut
the
you
deepest.
Deep. Yes, yes. We will find that spot.
No, we will find a way to cut off that appendage of yours that is going to be rendered useless a few million years from now.
Hey, when I just remembered something. You know, when you were talking about language and things and the things people say. Just going back to this thing of being comfortable and feeling like you shouldn't be single and being married is an achievement. Do you find that? And I mean, I'm finding it in all the languages. With English, if you're a man, you're a bachelor, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if you are, no, you're master, sorry, you're master.
Master.
You're master. They call you Master Mang Mang. If you're married, you're Mrs. Mang Mang. I get.
Oh.
But have you seen the right master? Like your Master Mang Mang if you are a single man. Then
I
Mr. Mang Mang if you are married.
Oh, ne? Okay, I wasn't aware of that. I thought master wasn't like an old English thing that, you know, the Brits used to.
I was looking at these forms that we fit in.
Oh, okay.
It was like master, then mister, then miss. Why is it that when you're a single woman, you're a miss? What have you missed? Because for me, miss has such... Psychologically, I don't like that word. It's like miss. You are half of a missus. You're something less than the married woman. Yes, you're a master. You're a master of your own universe.
Okay, yeah. You are in charge and
it's
in control.
It's so empowering, that term. But you're a miss.
I've never thought about it that way.
Something's amiss.
These days, don't they also like you can use miss as an MS, I don't know if this is correct the way that it was explained to me, because I was trying to find out what is the difference between misses.
Yeah.
Okay. No, obviously there's a difference between misses and miss. Mm. But what is the difference between MISS and MS?
What is the difference?
This person who was explaining it to me said that to do away with discriminating between whether a woman is married or not married, because with a man, if it's Mr.,
that's it,
he can be married or single. And so to do away with that discrimination, they then added Miss MS, which you can use whether you are single or married.
Nice.
But I don't know if this is true, you know. There are all these rules
and it's always us who are the bearing the brunt of what those rules imply. Yes. As women, because even in Setswana it's a lefetwa. If you're not married, you're a lefetwa.
Like, they passed
it
you
means
over.
You've been passed over, guys.
They came across.
And I asked, I was like, so what's the term for a man? They're like, no, there's no term for a man. Like, what do you mean? A man needs a term.
Yeah.
Huh?
No, ya lefetwa, it definitely sounds harsh.
It does.
Because what they're literally saying is, all these men who came across you decided, next.
Yes.
And they literally... Pass you over.
Yes, and I think that's why these poor girls are so desperate to get married, just so they don't have to have that label to them. I mean, I actually met a girl who literally says at this point she doesn't care who she marries. Even if she gets divorced, at least she can say she's been married.
Yeah, that's...
And I'm like, that can't be life. This sounds like an expensive exercise. Expensive emotionally, psychologically, and monetarily wise.
No, it's not cheap, this thing. Wedding days are not cheap.
Hey, munna.
And marriages are not easy, as far as I've been told.
Amen. Hey.
Listen, we've got to wrap things up.
Let's do it.
No, I see Duncan is already, you know, showing me things where, you know, he's got his fingers running up in the air and it's time to wrap it up. But
okay, fine.
You know what? It's good to be back. Thank you once again. Yeah, I'm loving this thing, this reunion of ours.
No, we must continue these things. But we must hug a man. I say, screw it. Hug any man who still acknowledges that it's Women's Month and is doing all the housework.
Oh, okay. Doing the housework. Because you remember last week we were tearing Women's
Month
to
shreds. Yes, we were. No, no. Now
we don't like this thing.
No, I'm saying I want to big up those guys who are going, well, let me just, for a change, pick up my own slag, you know.
Okay.
In honor of those mothers.
All right. Mm. Listen, we'll be back with you next week.
We will.
Hopefully, ne?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the plan.
I hope I'm not working. Otherwise, if I don't, I'll see
Berek
you the week after. Hashtag baby. And, mama gotta eat.
Yeah. And thank you for joining us. This is CliffCentral.com. We'll see you next week. Thank you.
This is CliffCentral.com.